Blog Talk Radio.
The pastor cannot do it alone.
That's right.
And so it is important that the laity be trained and prepared to help the work of the church, to help in the work of the ministry, so that the body of Christ may be built up and matured spiritually, as we're taught in Ephesians chapter 4. So the laity has an important role in the church.
There is a definite need for training the laity. The Ministry of Laity Training is one of the four USCCM Ecclesiastical Ministry offices, the laity. I would also point out that the Ministry of Laity Training is one of the four USCCM Ecclesiastical Ministry offices. We have Ministry of Evangelism, Ministry of Communications, the Ministry of Laity Training, and also the Ministry of Clergy Training. Good morning and good afternoon, wherever you are listening from. This is the UFCCM Ministry of Laity Training Outreach Broadcast. Greetings to all of our dear UFCCM affiliates, friends, and supporters of this ministry. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is Teacher Margaret Tindall extending a hearty welcome to all of you, our listeners, who are on your phone, on our Facebook page, and at ufccm.org. We honor God this morning, first and foremost, honor to our ecumenical patriarch, Bishop Henry A. Tindall, Sr., to our Episcopal Board of Bishops, UFCCM national officials, clergy, affiliates, and all laity. Blessings to you all, and we pray that you all are well. We are encouraged to move forward by faith, and we continue to be excited about all that God is doing in and through the UFCCM. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, God, we come before you this morning. Father, we appear before you, Father, with our hearts overflowing with praise and thanksgiving and adoration for you and who you are. And we're so grateful this morning that we know whose we are. Father, we thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy. And we thank you so much for the sacrifice of your only Son who paid the penalty for us, that we do not have to walk in guilt and we do not have to pay it ourselves. Father, we give you praise and honor for allowing us to come together on another Laity Outreach broadcast. We thank you for all of UFCCM, Father, and we just ask you to look on each and every one that is listening today, and even those who are not listening, Father, we pray your blessings. Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for our speaker today, Pastor Henriette. Father, we're looking forward to a fresh word and a fresh message of encouragement. Our goal is never to do a good broadcast. Our goal is to do a broadcast that will do some good and that will draw someone to Christ and closer to you. Father, we ask you to look on our listeners and stimulate their thoughts and encourage them to call in with their thoughts and their comments as we are stimulated by the word today. Father, we ask you to look on those who are ill, those who are going through situations. Father, we know that you've got this, and we leave it in your hands. Father, we ask these blessings and all others in the name of your precious Son, in the name of the Father, the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, our scripture for today is one that I went to bed with last night, and I woke up this morning with in my spirit, Romans, the 8th chapter, and I wish we had time to go through the whole chapter, but the selected verses that I'm led to read are verse 1 and verses 5 and 6, and I'm reading from the King James Version. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Verses 5 and 6. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And in Romans 8, we see that the Apostle Paul is teaching about life in the Spirit and about the power of the Holy Spirit and how it will operate in our lives if we walk after the Spirit and not the flesh. To me, this is a reminder with validation of our UFCCM annual theme from Paul's writings in 1 Corinthians 15 and 58, admonishing us to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in Christ. For if we walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh, we can truly live what it means to be steadfast, unmovable, and abounding in Christ. Because through the power of the Holy Spirit, we will remain resolute, firmly fixed, solid, firm, and incapable of allowing Satan to divert us from our faith and love for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We will live a life that is more like Christ, minding the things of the Spirit, not the flesh. And what a blessing. Paul let us know that to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And oh, how much this means to us today in the cruel world in which we are living. What a mighty God we worship, praise, and serve. To God be all the glory. As you know, these monthly broadcasts help us to grow spiritually as we repeatedly hear messages of hope, encouragement, and inspiration to build us up spiritually and empower us in our Christian walk. We're truly blessed, UFCCM. Well, we are so honored to have as our speaker for today Pastor Henriette Robinson of Atlanta, Georgia, a powerful and dynamic woman of God. And, you know, I'm so always impressed by the myriad of talents that we have in the UFCCM. Pastor Henriette is a licensed clinical social worker who has worked in the mental health field for 25 years. She was ordained in 2015. And we're eager to hear what God has in store for us today to speak to our hearts and to introduce and tell you more about Pastor Henriette. We're so honored to have our very own His Grace, Bishop J.G. Kramer of Rainbow City, Alabama, UFCCM. Bishop Kramer has known and co-labored with Pastor Henriette for quite some time, and he will come now to share more with us about this dynamic, precious woman of God. Bishop Kramer, are you there?
Well, Bishop, I'm sorry, Teacher Tindall, I don't see Bishop Kramer here at the moment.
Okay.
Unless he's at a different number that he normally calls from.
Okay, let's see. Maybe he got his times mixed up. I heard from him earlier this morning. I don't know. Let's see. I gave you his cell phone number, and both area codes are 256. So you don't see that.
Yes, I have. Yes. No, it's not in there. He's not.
Okay. Well, let me just tell you a little bit about Pastor Henriette. She has been married for 23 years this year. She has three children, ages 20, 19, and 16. And as I mentioned, she is a licensed clinical social worker, having worked in mental health since 1997. She works as a therapist independently, and she is a behavioral health evaluator for a hospital system. And as I mentioned, she was ordained as a minister since 2015. She currently co-labors with Bishop Kramer at Restoration Outreach Ministry. And this is a dynamic ministry which serves individuals and families who have been dealing with negative experiences related to previous local church body engagement. And this ministry is designed to provide a safe place where people can come to experience God's love and his restorative power through gathering together, through the word, and through prayer. And Pastor Henriette will be speaking today on the topic, Faith with Works. So without further preliminary, Pastor Henriette, we welcome you, and we look forward to what you have to share.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Teacher Tyndall. Thank you for this opportunity to gather with everyone here today. I'm really excited, and it's definitely an honor to share and to be a part of what God is doing through your ministry, Teacher Tyndall. So, yes, when I was asked to seek the Lord on sharing today, especially as it relates to our theme, our annual theme, according to the word found in 1 Corinthians 15:58, you know, to be steadfast, where Paul is encouraging us, right, to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding for Christ, and as other translations, for my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And, you know, as I began to just meditate on the scripture and, you know, seeking the Lord on what he would have me to share, what really stood out to me was the word work, you know, the word works, the action behind it, what it means. Because oftentimes, you know, in the body of Christ, and, you know, and I'm sure that many of us, I know I can speak for myself, have been guilty of abounding in the work of Henriette, right, you know, and not the work of the Lord. We see a lot of, you know, what the Bible predicts, false doctrine and things of that nature that are coming out that people are giving their ear to in this hour. And it has that stamp of, you know, Jesus on it. They're saying that this is from the Lord and that this is Jesus. But, you know, we're not seeing the fruit thereof, right? So even in looking at this scripture, you know, if we're not talking about the kind of work that lines up with what pleases God and what God is calling us to do, then, you know, maybe your labor is in vain, right? And we want to avoid that as true believers of God. We want to avoid that as the ones, you know, the called out ones, the chosen ones, right? The true representation of Jesus Christ in the earth. So faith with works, you know, is what came to me. And the question that I had before the Lord was, okay, God, you know, how can we, you know, what do you want me to talk about? What do you want me to, you know, just kind of receive from you that will help us to just kind of keep this word as an active part of, you know, the call on our lives and, you know, who we are in God. And that's the topic that, you know, really burned in my heart was to share a little bit about what it means to have faith with works. You know, we often hear the very common scriptural reference, you know, from James, where we say probably more than faith with works, we hear faith without works, and we know what that equals, right? Faith without works is dead. So what was highlighted to me in terms of the topic that, you know, we'll talk about today is the dynamic of, you know, faith with works producing living works, right? The kind of thing that is alive and what God needs, you know, to come from us to impact this world for his glory. We want to talk about the type of works that show faith to be real and vital in every part of our lives. So another perspective that I just kind of want to lay on the table as we just kind of lay this foundation here is the whole idea of looking at this personally, right? Because the more that we take time to work on our personal relationship with God, the stronger we're going to be when we come together corporately and the many works that God has for us to do together as the body of Christ. So be encouraged as we just kind of talk about a few things here, and let's move forward. So again, you know, the word that really just stood out was works. And it's an interesting topic and concept because it kind of changes in meaning because there's a works, you know, before salvation, right? Not knowing Jesus, not serving God, that is pretty useless, right? Because according to Ephesians 2:8, it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." So, you know, prior to walking with God and working for God and just being that, you know, that vessel, you know, there's no way that we could earn or work for that position, right, that free gift that we can receive when we say yes to Jesus. And, you know, that old life passes away and, you know, we start that process of that newness. Amen.
Amen.
But with works from salvation moving forward, it's like, you know, we get a little change in our understanding of that word works, because on one hand, outside of Christ and outside of being saved, works means nothing. But once we get saved, works become very critical. It actually becomes necessary. It's actually required, right? Because we're seeing even in our the theme, the scripture for our theme for this year for the conference, there's something about works that God is evaluating. There's something about works that is required of us to show forth the glory of God, to represent Jesus, right, to manifest Christ in everything that we do and everywhere that we go. So according to James 2, verse 18, just in contrast, right, the works from salvation on, James is talking about, like, but someone, it says, but someone will say, "You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works." And it says, "I will show you my faith by my works," mm-hmm. right? So God is talking to us here. You know, he's showing us something. James 2 gives, you know, some examples and just really kind of take a deeper look at this. I am going to read verses 24 through 26, but I encourage, you know, just the reading of that entire chapter. But it says, "You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only." And verse 25 says, "Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way?" And even, you know, the earlier verses give the example of Abraham and how, you know, that was an example of works, you know, with the faith. You know, he heard from God, or Rahab was given an instruction, you know, from the Lord. And then that there were works. There's something they had to do, right, so that the faith and works dynamic can come into action. And it says in verse 26, "For as the body without the spirit is dead. So faith without works is dead also. And I was tickled as I heard you listen to Teacher Tyndall earlier, and the word that you received and shared from Romans about just the critical nature of being led by the Spirit of God, having the Spirit of God, you know, working in our lives. And it's so important because the math equation that I got to bring the Holy Spirit into this talk about the dynamic between faith and work is a faith plus Holy Spirit equals living works, right? Mm-hmm. Because, again, the whole idea, right, is we're trying to align ourselves to be vessels that God can use in every area of our lives, from home to community to church to work to all over this world, right? We want the works that are pleasing to God. We want the works that are actually the work of the Lord, right? And without the Holy Spirit, it is very easy to find ourselves in a lifestyle of doing a lot of work, but void of the Spirit of God, who is the only, it's the only source of God's word coming alive, right? For us, getting an understanding of, what our work is, what our assignments are, from what we perceive to be the smallest thing to, some of the things that we say to ourselves are the biggest ways, to show Jesus and to operate in faith out here. So, it's one of the areas that just, was very highlighted to me and sharing this message is the Holy Spirit, right? And the need for the Spirit of God to just be welcomed, in our lives like never before, because a lot of what we're seeing out here and a lot of what the Bible is telling us is going to happen, you'll notice if you do enough research, you will realize that the Holy Spirit is being taken out of, the equation, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, according to Philippians 2:13, I want to read this and talk about that math equation here, that faith plus Holy Spirit equals living work. Because the encouragement factor here is that as we are looking to, to follow and walk out this word that we're talking about in 1 Corinthians 15:58, to be steadfast, to be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. The good news is that we have help to do this, right? God never intended for us to try to follow and, walk in a word like this from our own strength, right, from our own abilities, right? So a lot of times it's so good to just remind ourselves of, these principles and these ways of God. So in Philippians 2, start at 12, it says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." So verse 13 says, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure." Amen?
Amen.
Verse 14, it says, "Do all things without complaining and disputing." And I love this because these are tips on, because again, we're trying to, I'm going to repeat this scripture throughout. We're trying to be steadfast. We're trying to, work on just being immovable and always abounding in the work of the Lord. And I love it how this scripture kind of highlights some tips on what that looks like. What are the practical ways, right, that we can remind ourselves to walk in this as a lifestyle? And it says, "Do all things without complaining and disputing, that we may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain." Amen, which again brings us back to our theme scripture, right? That it is so important that we remind ourselves and we position ourselves before God that his Spirit you know, will work in us and remind us of these things, because, you know, I'm going to just put it out there, right? I'm pretty sure that what's going on and my side, you know, my side of where I am geographically located is not, you know, specific to just where I am, that we, you know, look at the news and we pay attention to what's happening. Things are surely going south, right? You know, we're seeing exactly what God said is going to happen in terms of the darkness, right? It's covering. It's starting to be so tangible, you know, and we're seeing the gross darkness, you know, over the people, just people who are around us, who, you know, whose hearts have just waxed cold, who, you know, compassion is no longer a thing. And, you know, so with this, we are, you know, commissioned by God to be the very vessels that he can use to light this thing up, right? To show Jesus, to impact the world around us, again, for his glory. Amen?
Amen.
So this thing about living works and, you know, just meeting the Spirit of God and just agreeing with that, right? Like, you know, we know in Scripture, you know, Lord speaks on this in so many different ways. That, you know, Jesus is the vine, we're the branches. Without him, we can do nothing. You know, this has to become by the Spirit of God more than just words on a page. It has to feed this faith part that we're talking about, right? In Jude 1:24, it says, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." All right. So again, reminders, right, that we have help, that this is on God. Our part of this is to agree with the word of God, is to yield ourselves to his power, you know, to train us up, to teach us through the many ways and people and resources and forces, you know, that he chooses, you know, to raise us up, you know, as mature saints. We have to believe that God has a work for you and I to do.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So this is where, you know, I'm just going to transition into, because I always, you know, my thing, and, you know, and I know how what's helped me grow through serving God and the years of walking with the Lord, when I'm listening to a minister or when I'm, you know, part of a time where a man or woman of God is you know, teaching the word or sharing the word, I want to know what it looks like practically, right? I want ideas on how do I practically use this information, you know, that that I'm receiving, right? Because that's what's going to make it count versus, like the word says, you know, just be a hearer of the word. You know, we want to be doers. So let's transition into, you know, just what that looks like and how we can, if we need this, you know, this kind of direction, how to look at this in a practical way. So, again, I want to just share two scriptures for the sake of just reminding us who we are in God and how important it is for us to operate in these living works that are needed, desperately needed, you know, in this dying world around us. And as it relates to God's end time plan, you know, for the church to truly, you know, rise up and be all that we are ordained to be in this hour. And so Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Hebrews 10:23-25 says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up," what? "Love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." So again, this is not, you know, we're not making this up. Like, the whole contrast, right, between works before salvation and works from salvation moving forward, God makes very clear that we have work to do. It's the very work of our lives, you know, that God has designed to represent himself, you know, and show people the love of God and who Christ is. So the practical part, you know, what can we do with this? You know, my the hope, you know, prior to what we're about to go into now, as I, you know, about to wrap this message up, was to kind of lay that foundation, right, is to really look at, you know, the faith and works dynamic and to just remind ourselves that works are important. Like, our works are going to be put to the test. We're going to have to answer, right, for what we do with Jesus in the earth, as we've heard said. So practically speaking, and here I wanted to, you know, just touch on the whole idea that, you know, my mind and my training, right, just professionally, is that of, you know, working with people with mental health issues. And in the mental health field, especially working as a counselor or a therapist, you know, the whole idea behind someone coming to me saying that, hey, you know, depression is overwhelming me or causing me to not be able to function in life, or, you know, the anxiety that I'm dealing with is, you know, just too much. You know, I need to I need help, you know, discovering or learning, you know, new ways to cope. From my therapist hat and the, you know, modality that, or my go-to, you know, and offering, you know, that help through therapy is based really on what I say when I speak to people. It is a testament to how we're made as human beings, right? The modality that I like to use is one that really brings out the connection between, you know, the way that we think, our thought life, as it connects to, you know, our emotion center, and from that we respond to life and we do life. So in the beginning process of, you know, trying to help someone start a process of change in their lives is teaching them and educating them just about that makeup. And what I love is when I have the opportunity to do Christian counseling, because I always like to just bring that analogy to people that, you know, what I am going to talk to you about practically as far as, like, you know, my education and what I know about, you know, the strategies of, you know, teaching you how to understand the things of, you know, of the mind, right, and how it connects to your emotions and how that connects to behavior, is that even though God doesn't get credit for it, it really comes from the Word of God. Mm-hmm. Because what happens, right, when we come into the faith, God starts us on this process of renewing what? Our mind, right? The washing of the Word. So it's in that same vein that if you can teach someone how to pay attention to what's going on in their thought life and how they, you know, how they're processing things and how, you know, what they're thinking about, teaching people to monitor their own, you know, ways of thinking, then you can teach someone how to, you know, realize that a lot of maybe what they've gone through, right, has just kind of caused a lot of those thought patterns to be dysfunctional or unhealthy. And when they come to understand that, then, you know, we could change, right? But it all starts with taking, you know, doing that assessment. So bringing it back to our conversation here is that, okay, how do we make this information practical for us that we're, you know, hearing today and moving forward? And, you know, by taking an honest look, right? For some of us, it's, you know, a realignment of, you know, getting back to where you know that, you know, God needs you to be in terms of the work that he has for you to do, right? Some of us today might be, it might be a fresh start. Like, you just need to start, you know, and move forward from there. Whatever it is, just remember that we serve a God who is just so amazingly awesome, right? A God who meets us right where we are, wherever we are. He's a God who, you know, is that God of restoration. Like, you know, maybe some of us might, you know, think about this whole faith with works and, you know, just what it looks like in your personal life and feel like, man, you know, I've let too much time pass. It's over. You know, I've just lost it. I can't, like, do this. You know, it's a lie. It's a lie from darkness, from the enemy of your soul, of our soul. And because, why? Because we serve a God who is a redeemer, right? He redeems time, right? He's the type of a God that will put you back in position because now, you know, you've chosen, right? You've agreed with the word of God for your life. And, you know, we serve that God that you'll be better than before in terms of the fruitfulness, right, that could come from your life and the works that will be alive and impact the world around you the way that God has ordained. So, again, practicality, right? Pray, right? Simple prayer to, you know, that God will align us with our ordained assignment and our works for the Lord. Acknowledge the Lord. Present what you believe that you receive, you know, from God, knowing that, like in Proverbs 3, right, 5 and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge him, and what? He will direct your path. Right? He's directing our path just by simply saying by faith that we're not trusting in our own mind, in our own way of doing this. But we are bringing this to you, God. And the promise is that, hey, I've got you from here. Amen? And that should be encouraging. That should be something that, you know, uplifts because we need God. We need his spirit to do and to accomplish these works that we will, you know, have to account for. And these works that are so critical to showing Jesus. Right, and being part of the great harvest, right, of people coming into the household of faith like never before. So we want to just start there, right, praying and acknowledging God and believing that that's all that it takes, you know, us doing our part and God will surely do, you know, his part. And and helping us be all that he has called us to be, right? We have the purpose to take action in this hour like no other hour. Amen?
Amen.
So, you know, with that said, what are some examples? And this is how I want to kind of close this out and wrap this up. But I want to leave us with just the simplicity, right? And, you know, God is calling us to go back to the simple gospel. The gospel is not complicated. Man has made the gospel complicated, right? Because when we understand the precepts, when we understand the basics, right, that we need God, we need his spirit, you know, to understand his word, to hear him, to obey him, when we just, you know, have just those simple things in alignment, then we thrive, right? Then we see God work and move in our lives and the lives of others, right? So how do we make it just simple? You know, those of us who just want an idea of what does this look like, again, practically. So, again, I go back to, you know, my training, right, as a social worker, as a therapist. And, again, part of the helping process is helping people identify goals, right, and, you know, to really be able to identify, okay, what do you want to take away from this? You know, what will be the evidence that this work that we're doing has changed, you know, your life in any way? You know, what will be different? And so with this, it could be something as simple as saying to God that my goal in this hour, as I'm bringing, you know, myself, my assignment, my purpose back before God in a personal, intimate way, that my goal is to glorify God through my works. Right? Let's break it down to the most simplest way that we can look at this. Right? And how can we break that down? You know, if we're just trying to just make it plain, we're just trying to, you know, figure out some strategy on how to help ourselves get into, you know, a proactive vein of becoming habitual in the work that we that we're doing, you know, for the Lord. And so I have an example there. It's like, okay, that main goal, and, you know, is, all right, I want to glorify God through my work, through my life, through my assignment, through my purpose, through the different hats that I wear, through every role that God allows me to you know, to have. And so what's something I can do? All right, I'll engage in at least 2 acts of kindness daily, right, as an example. So what does that mean? Well, all right, maybe I can just send an encouraging text to somebody, right? Maybe I can call someone that needs encouragement, you know, that I have the knowledge that this person is going through it right now. You know, maybe they just lost a loved one, right, and just would benefit from, you know, just calling them up and just saying, letting them know that, hey, you know, I'm thinking about you. I'm praying for you, right? Maybe if you are a mother or a father with, you know, children or a household that you're, you know, that you're taking care of. Maybe it looks like I will gather my family once a week for a topical Bible study to promote spiritual growth and maturity, right? Have a reason for what you're doing, right? Because, again, remember now, what we're talking about here is producing the type of work that is alive, right? So we've done the foundational things. We've come to God. You know, we've acknowledged God. Now we're starting to receive, you know, just some ideas, because we have to believe that, you know, as we do what we see, then God is going to meet us there, and then God is going to be the one, you know, who gives the increase in things, right? God calls us to plant a little seed here, water a little seed there, but he reserves, right, that position to give the increase, right? So he doesn't even have us worrying about, like, that the increase part. Can we just be part of the plan where we are allowing him to use us, you know, in the ways that we do understand and the things that we can, that we do know to do, and allow him to put the, you know, rest of the pieces together or divinely connect us, you know, to who we need to be connected to. So it's the same as, you know, that example with family. You could be a single person that is connected to people, you know, maybe you have a group of friends around you, right, that, you know, you often talk about the things of God. Maybe some topics, specific topics have come up that, you know, you just kind of want to know, get more insight into what God is saying about it and how to apply it to your life. So, you know, there's no reason why you can't gather some folks up, right, and say, hey, once a week we're going to hash this out. We're going to tell you, we're going to pray about this. We're going to, you know, bring this before the Lord. Maybe it's identifying a way, you know, you're saying to yourself, I will identify a way to give finances or my time to people, organizations, et cetera. Maybe it's, I'll identify a way to give finances or my time to, you know, people in need. Like, there's always work to do. There's always, you know, things that God is going to highlight in his spirit, in your mind, to start somewhere with, right? Maybe you'll pick a topic when it's all said and done, and you're like, man, I just can't think of anything. I don't feel like God is saying anything. Pick a topic or issue to intercede for and establish a set-apart time to pray about that thing. There's so many things. You could just, you know, read your news app, or, you know, watch something on TV that will surely give you an example, right, of something that you can simply just say, well, God, for now, I'm going to pray. I'm going to be the one to use the stand in the gap, you know, while I'm waiting for more instructions. So in the, you know, final closing of this, being proactive and having work to abound in according to the scripture, you know, of our theme for this year, we want to develop a habit of knowing and understanding our assignment to produce the living work that we've talked about, so that you can experience and I can experience what it feels like to thrive and always be available to God for use in his kingdom affairs. So I encourage myself and all who are listening, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. What a powerful, encouraging word, Pastor Henriette. And before we discuss further, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Stay up to date with all UFCCM news, events, and happenings. Go to UFCCM.org. Also, find us on Facebook at UFCCM Today. Did you know that you could contact the UFCCM through the National Switchboard? Call 833-88-UFCCM. That's 833-888-3226. Go to the UFCCM website for specific extensions.
Thank you, Pastor Robinson, for in sharing such a powerful and encouraging and practical message on faith with works. And we're now going to open up the lines for our listeners to call in and join the conversation, to share your comments or testimonials or questions regarding what you have heard and how you have been blessed by today's presentation from Pastor Henriette. Remember now to call in to share. If you're listening by phone, simply press 1. If you're on Facebook or if you're at the UFCCM website, you then must use your phone to call in. The number is 347-850-1405. If you press 1, then Bishop Haywood will bring you right in. And while Bishop Haywood is manning the phone to see who our callers are, I just want to say, Pastor Henriette, I have several pages of notes. I just love the way you focused on the word work. And I simply really enjoy you talking about the faith and works dynamic. Faith plus the Holy Spirit equals living works. And, you know, you mentioned that the work that we do must line up and please God or else it's in vain. And I was just thinking there's so many people and situations we read about where people are doing different works, but the caution that we must know is that if you're doing these works and you don't know the Lord in the pardon of your sins and have accepted Jesus as your Savior, those works are useless. They're useless prior to working with God and knowing God. And I also enjoyed the way you used your professional experience to give an overview of some practical applications and examples. And I know this has been a benefit to our listeners. So this was just a wonderful presentation, and I love the practical, you know, because there are many times we study the word and we have knowledge of the word, but it's only when we begin to live it and walk in it that everything will change. Amen. So we're going to now, Bishop Haywood, do we have any callers?
Well, we don't. Well, we have. Hold it. We do have one hand that just went up. I was about to say we didn't have any hands that went up. But once again, as Teacher Tindall mentioned, those of you that are on the line right now here live in the studio, please by phone, please press 1. I'll be able to bring you right in. And those that are listening by other platforms such as the website or Blog Talk Radio website itself, you'll have to call in once again to 347-850-1405 and press 1. We have two hands that just went up. So we're going to bring the first one in first. And caller, you are at 980-258-48. And that's all I say on your number. Go right ahead, caller.
Hello?
Area code 980. Yes. Go right ahead.
Yes. Can you hear me, Bishop?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to make sure because I thought I was caller number two.
No, that number is popped right up just now, and your voice is as welcomed and as needful as ever. So God bless you.
God bless you, Bishop. I want to honor the Lord today and to our ecumenical patriarch and to Bishop Hayward, his grace, and to Teacher Tyndall and to, of course, our speaker of the hour, Elder Robinson, Henriette Robinson. I thank the Lord for the message, I will say, that was brought forth this afternoon. And I just thank God because she went so deep into the word, which it is so important, really just expounding on the conference theme that we have this year. And I thank God for that. Mm-hmm. She just broke it down so clearly. And I thank the Lord for the words that she said. Bishop Tyndall and I, we were sitting here and we were listening. And I was just saying, wow, this is really such an inspirational word that Elder Robinson is bringing. And I had to chuckle to myself because we have been trying to share with her along with Bishop Kramer the last several months during the COVID season. And I said, this sounds just as if we were in service with them on Sunday morning. And so I thank you, Elder Robinson, for being so clear in expressing the word, because that is exactly what we need to hear today. There have been so much. There was a program my grandchildren used to listen to, and it was called Loud House. And everything would be so loud and yelling and screaming that oftentimes the things that made a difference in the house, they didn't hear it because it was so much loudness going on. Mm-hmm. And I thank God because even though now sometimes it may feel like we're living in a loud house, but it is so important to take a moment that the noise stops, that you sit and that you listen clearly and understand the word of God. And that's what you did today. And I thank you for the message that you brought forth, that it was so clear that people did not need to have to wonder, oh, what was she saying? I couldn't quite understand it. And that is the kind of teaching that we need. I think for so long, sometimes people have been in a loud house that they've not really heard and understood the teachings of the gospel, the teachings of the word of God. And that's the reason why when things happen, they're not able to be steadfast. They're not able to continue in the word of God because they've not had that quiet time that they truly understood the word of God, that when those difficult times come, they can reach back in the quiet time and grab those teachings. So I think it is just absolutely wonderful. There's a lot that I could say, but I'm going to stop right there, Elder Robinson, and I say to you, and one other thing I was going to say, I said, I chuckled also, I said, because Elder Robinson is bringing it forth in her profession. When you're counseling people, when people are going through therapy, they don't want to hear the loud things because they don't understand that. You have to be patient. You have to be succinct with your language and with your body language and the words that you're using. And those are the things that resonate and really hit to the heart of people. And that's what you did today with the Word of God, which is so, so important as we move along this journey, as we continue to be steadfast, as we continue to be unmovable, and as so that we can always abound in the work of the Lord. I just encourage you to continue the work of the Lord. Elder Robinson, continue preaching God's word and teaching God's word. And we just love you and thank God for you.
Amen. I love you. It's always so encouraging. Thank you so much, Mother Tyndall, Bishop Tyndall. You guys are amazing.
Caller, you're at 410-938. Go right ahead. 410-938.
Good afternoon. Can y'all hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
I just wanted to say I love how you down each scripture, and it wasn't busy, it wasn't scripture after scripture with no information coming behind it. And I always say that when I get a little discouraged, I go back, I put my gospel on, and I always tell myself, push and activate your faith button. Because sometimes people's not going to always be there to cheer you on. So sometimes you have to encourage yourself. And by doing that, you have to go to the Word of God. And you have to sometimes pray. And what I do is I will put on some praise and worship melody. And I'll sit there, and I will go through scripture, and then I will talk, and I will wait and hear what the Lord say. And then next minute I know, I don't forgot what I was crying about, what
Come
I was
on.
Upset about, what was discouraging me. Because that peace that passes all understanding gives you that faith button to push and to keep activated. So I always tell somebody, you got to activate and keep pushing that faith button. And that's what I do. And I just want to say I really enjoyed your word, and I digest it very well. Thank you. And blessings
you.
To you, Pastor.
Blessings.
Amen. Thank you, Minister White, for sharing that. And, you know, your comments reminded me of an awesome word of encouragement that Pastor Elder Robinson gave us, because she said, you know, God never intended for us to do anything in our own abilities. This really blessed me because, and then she said, we have help, and that help comes from the Lord. And so God works in us, and he works through us, and we don't have to lean to our own understanding or be within self. She, you know, one of the earliest things she said was the distinction between working in yourself through Henriette or Margaret versus doing the work of the Lord to please God. So that is just such an encouragement that none of us have to feel fearful or weary, because we have help. We have the Holy Spirit to produce living work in our lives. It's just such an encouraging word today.
Amen.
Amen. Bishop Haywood, do we have any other callers?
Well, we have plenty of callers on the line, but no one has pressed one. So I'll keep looking. We just, unless you extend the time. But I will say, you know, blessings to you, dear pastor, once again. And, you know, I love how you said, you know, keep it simple. You know, we make it complicated. You know, there's a, I know our military people will get this, and, you know, and so don't get offended by me, you know, because it's just, it's just an acronym. You know, no acronym, KISS, keep it simple, stupid. You know, that's, but, well, but I changed it. I changed it from KISS, you know, the Holy KISS, keep it simple thing, you know, and so it's so just to kind of keep in line, you know, I paraphrase the scripture in Proverbs 15, but it says better is a simple meal where love is than a fat ox, you know, that where hate is. Now, I know that's not exactly how the scriptures, you know, is quoted, but, you know, that's my paraphrase. In other words, it's better to have a simple meal than to have a big old meal full of mess, junk, and overdone. So thank you so much for those words. I'm checking right now. Those of you, again, you have an opportunity Well, we did have one more person just press one, so I guess that little time was able to get them to raise their hand. All right, caller, you're at 256-390. Go right ahead.
This is Bishop Kramer.
Blessings to you, Bishop.
Hey, Bishop.
I got the time wrong, guys. I apologize.
I thought that was what happened.
Yeah. I was thinking, well, anyway, I got it wrong. It's 12 o'clock my time, and I forgot the difference. I apologize.
Oh, good.
And I know, Henriette, you did an excellent job. You always do. I was saying something about you this morning to somebody that is a strong Christian. And I said, as long as I've known Pastor Henriette, Elder Henriette, I've never known her once to be called on that she doesn't come fully prepared and ready to do the Lord's bidding. And I honor you for that, because as long as I've known you, I've known that to be the case. You're an exceptional person.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop.
Amen. I'm just sorry I missed the broadcast. I'll have to go back and listen to it on the recording now.
Amen.
But Teacher Tindall, I want to apologize to you because I honestly got the time wrong. I'm sorry.
That's all right, Bishop. I suspected that was the case, and I said to myself, I should have been clearer and reminded you of the time distinction, but we're glad you're able to tune in now.
I'm just glad I snuck in even at the end, because I was afraid it was going to be over.
No.
But anyway, I thank you, and Henriette, you just, I don't even... I'll go back and listen. I don't know what you said today, but I ain't worried about whether it's good or bad. It's awesome, I'm sure.
Amen. Amen, Bishop. Thank you, Bishop.
Thank you.
You're
Bishop
welcome.
Kramer. Thank you so much. And, you know, I just wanted to point out one other thing. As I said, I have pages of notes here, but I am such a firm believer in not only knowing the word, but it being practical. And I think I mentioned before, I love that you gave some practical examples when you were talking about, you know, you said identifying goals, and I know that's something that you do in your counseling, but I wrote down, speak my goals to God. So ask God to give me or use me in a way that glorifies him. That's a goal. And God hears that, and you even gave some examples. And, you know, Pastor Henriette, sometimes people think they have to be deep and do all of these things, and it's simple.
Yes.
Something is simple. You gave an example of texting someone or calling someone.
Mm-hmm.
I go even of smiling to someone that you pass on the street. God is love. It's not all of this, you know, saying all of these things and whatever. It is our actions, our works that we do in faith to show people the love of God. And we need to be more into that, into the practical application of the word. So I just love that you gave people some practical examples that they can use to produce living works.
Amen. Amen.
I love that. So, Bishop Haywood, do we have any others who have raised their hands?
I don't see any others raising their hand. And normally what I would do is go in and prime them a little bit in the screening room, but I'm going to save everyone from that on today, unless you give me the order. If you give me the order to push the button, I'll go and do it.
Well, no, you know what? I firmly believe, this is me sometimes, when I hear something that's so dynamic and inspirational, I digest it. And, you know, I dare say that many times you hear something and then later on you come up with all these ideas, but at the time you're listening, you're taking it in and digesting it. I believe that's what's happening with our listeners.
Pastor Henriette, what is, you know, around Thanksgiving when, you know, you eat all that good food and there's something, you know, inside your, the chemical, maybe somebody can help me. What is that chemical that shoots in that makes you want to just sit down and rest now? Anybody remember what that's called?
Let's start with a C. I mean, I know this could help us, right? But isn't that the cortisol or something like that?
Is it tryptophan?
Yes.
Oh, I can't remember. Is that what it is? Okay. I think what may have happened here is they're still there. They're sitting back. They've gotten so full that set in, and now they can't talk.
They're digesting.
yeah, there you go. They're digesting, sitting down. But listen, well, blessings to you again. You know, we really appreciate you. And Teacher Tyndall, there are no others. You know, we're giving one more opportunity. Let me scroll down just because sometimes I got to scroll down the screen here. Mm-hmm. All right, well, they're all still there, no hands. Listen, blessings once again. And other than that, I guess we'll see you when we see you, and we'll make it as simple as we can make it to get the effective message across.
Yes. Amen. Thank you so much, Bishop Haywood. And again, I would like to offer my thanks to Pastor Henriette for taking the time out. I've been trying to get her for over a year, but, you know, in God's own time, things come to fruition, right?
Amen.
And
the
message was so powerful, and we thank you so much. And I will be talking with you, hopefully, when I see you in the conference about some additional things that we might want to bring you in on. And I want to give thanks to our Ecumenical Patriarch, Bishop Tyndall, and the Episcopal Board of Bishops for their faithful and ongoing support of this ministry of laity training. Bishop Tyndall and Mother Bishop Tyndall, I don't think they might have missed in the last 7 years, they may have missed one or two broadcasts, if that.
Mm.
They have been so faithful. Also, thanks to Bishop Haywood, who does our technical setup for getting us on air. And all of you, our listeners, we're so grateful for you taking the time out to share this time with us in this broadcast series. We thank God for each of you. And by way of quick announcement, our next broadcast will be on Saturday, June 11th, and that's just about a week and a half before our 18th annual conference in Charlotte, North Carolina. And we are so excited that we are going to be able to gather together in person for the first time since 2019.
Hallelujah.
Yes, and then I want to remind you of our 24-hour prayer meeting. I'm sure Bishop, the Ecumenical Patriarch, and Mother Bishop will be sending out information for the month of May. And as we always say, for those who want to know more about the UFCCM, we invite you to check out the UFCCM website at ufccm.org. And Bishop Haywood, I'm going to ask you to close us out with prayer.
Amen. Praise God. As we look toward the Lord and continually keep our hearts and our minds stayed up on Him, steadfast, immovable, abounding, steadfast, allowing God to pour into us and let it run over. So, Father God, we thank you and we praise you even now for what you've done, what you're doing, and what you're yet going to do. Lord, we ask God right now that each one of us that have participated live right now during this broadcast, this message, and those that will be listening or are listening right now through the archive of this particular show, Father God, that you open up the mind's eye and allow us to see and hear with spiritual clarity the words of the woman of God on today, such as it was presented in the spirit and how it was presented. And Father God, that our leader of this broadcast be completely covered to continue to have strength in the name of Jesus. And Father God, we thank you even, God, for our leaders of the UFCCM. Father God, right now, Ecumenical Patriarch, Father God, we thank you for Bishop Tyndall and Mother Bishop. Father God, and all that they do behind the scenes that we don't see to even facilitate these type of opportunities. So, Father, we thank you and we praise you even right now. So, yes. God, right now, as we leave, God, this particular space, but never your presence, we ask, God, that you bring us back at the appointed time, safe, healthy, wealthy, and completely filled and overflowing in your spirit. In Jesus' holy, mighty, and matchless name, thank God. Amen.
Amen. We love you all. Until next time, may God be with you. Bye.
God be with you.
Stay up to date with all UFCCM news, events, and happenings. Go to UFCCM.org. Also, find us on Facebook at UFCCM Today. Did you know that you could contact the UFCCM through the National Switchboard? Call 833-88-UFCCM. That's 833-888-3226. Go to the UFCCM website for specific extensions.
There is a definite need for training the laity. The Ministry of Laity Training is one of the four UFCCM Ecclesiastical Ministry offices, the laity. I would also point out that the Ministry of Laity Training is one of the four UFCCM Ecclesiastical Ministry offices. We have Ministry of Evangelism, Ministry of Communication, the Ministry of Laity Training, and also the Ministry of Clergy Training.